The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, engineering and producing the show. Bob, I love that shirt. My goodness. Remember, you've got to pull that out of your closet on Halloween, because that is it's pumpkin orange. I mean, that's good.
It's electric pumpkin.
Electric pumpkin. Yeah, we can see you certainly through the glass here at 10:30, The Voice, Tucson's place for trusted local news and talk. It's Friday, March 22nd. 2019. We are live here on the Buckmaster Show during the noon hour. Of course, we have our worldwide live listening, all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Friday, we do our big shout out to our media friends who support us. One of those friends, actually two of those friends with me in studio, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Hey, Dylan, how are you?
I am doing just fine.
Thanks for your support, my friend. Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Dan Shear is with us. Dan, thank you for your support through the years.
Yep, absolutely.
Dan also has now this additional responsibility. He's the not only is the editor for the two newspapers, but now he is the editorial director for the entire WIC newspaper chain, which is more than two dozen publications, mostly west of the Mississippi. There is one that's about 150 yards east of the Mississippi. I think it's in somewhere in Louisiana there. Yeah, just on the other side. Anyway, also thanks to Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oral Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry, how are you, sir?
I'm just fine, Bill. Glad to be here.
Very serendipitous to have you on the show, but it's always serendipitous to have you on the show because it's always a busy news week, it seems, when we bring you in. And I think we'll begin with Rosemont. Is water at the issue, as far as you're concerned, at the center of this controversy, as far as you're concerned and Pima County's concerned about the Rosemont mine?
I think there's a couple of issues, and water is probably right near the very top. I think the other issue associated with Rosemont deals with mitigation. Is the mitigation is it adequate for the actual mine?
Okay. Dylan, what are you telling me?
Well, I was going to try and feed you a line, but I didn't have anything to write with. I just wanted to note that it's World Water Day today. So the topic of water is even more timely.
We're going to have to put a pad of paper there in front of me. And the way the studio
I was trying to give that one to you so you could be the all-knowledgeable host.
Yeah, but the way the studio is configured, I love it and all that, but when Dylan is here, I've got pretty good peripheral vision. But you are just out of my line of sight to the right. Anyway,
Sorry to distract you.
But go ahead, Dylan, while we're talking about Rosemont, I'm sure you've got a question as well.
Well, I was thinking on the way over here when I heard that it was World Water Day, I really wanted to delve a little bit into not just the Rosemont issue, but where the county is at with our water supply. I mean, it's not specifically a county responsibility, but certainly it affects a lot of what you're thinking about, right?
Well, surprisingly enough, it is a direct county responsibility. Because we're the entity and the agency that basically turns all your sewage back into drinkable water. We operate all the regional and sub-regional wastewater treatment facilities, and our goal basically is to clean the water back and so that it can be reused, because that's part of the conservation strategy.
All right, Dan, you want to jump in on Rosemont?
Yeah, as we go back to Rosemont, so they got the mine plan of operation approved. They could go start digging at any point, and it took 12 years, but we do know that there are some court action going on, and so it's not over, but in your mind, is it over?
Well, it's obviously the step that the federal approvals is probably a pretty significant milestone for approval of the mine. At this point, obviously, there'll be a lot of argument over the details that'll go into the courts. And the question is how long will that take to solve and resolve, and whether or not the mine will feel comfortable in the mine operators in proceeding with the actual construction and development of the mine until some of the more pertinent court issues are solved. And no one can tell. And so I think, you know, one of the problems with Rosemont and the mine and the federal regulation is you really see the disconnect between federal agencies, because no one, you know, you've got the Corps of Engineers, basically surface water, flood waters, that type of thing. But there's really no federal agency that deals with groundwater issues, so that's left to the state. And so you have some real gaps between the regulatory environment in the mining areas. And nature is not that so segregated, because there's a direct connection between surface waters and groundwaters, and they're interconnected. And we tend to ignore that in the regulatory environment.
But let's look forward a couple of years, and let's just say that the court cases are gone and that this mine is happening. They start digging. Does the county have to, which has opposed this all along, do you have to kind of change your stance at some point and say, okay, they're here, we accept it, now let's get what we can out of them?
Well, I think obviously our role has never been to say yes or no. Our role has been to basically provide the technical support necessary to determine whether or not the action has adverse impacts on Pima County and its residents. And our goal now would be to try and figure out how to continue to minimize those impacts, given the fact that, you know, we're at more of a disadvantage now than we were prior to approval. But we can hope that if, in fact, some of the concerns that we've expressed in the mining action actually begin to materialize, that the company will understand that they need to maybe take additional steps at mitigation.
So then you're suggesting that with every step Rosemont takes going forward, the county is going to be there challenging it?
Well, I think we're going to be there trying to protect the public interest. And the public interest is in the water, it's in the air quality, it's in the safety on State Route 83, and it's frankly in whether or not the mitigation is adequate. And we're going to continue to speak out on those issues, even though the mine may be operating. We do that today with the other mining operations that exist in Pima County. When there's a dust incident down in Green Valley, we get involved and get concerned. And in that particular case, Freeport-McMoRan has been, frankly, very responsive to our concerns. So I think we're going to continue to play that role.
What about the air quality? Dan, you're 45 minutes. You're a resident of the area. You're 45 minutes from the mine. Are you concerned, Dan Scheer, about how the air quality will change where you're living, where you're residing?
Well, I'm 45 minutes probably from Rosemont, and I'm about 45 feet from all the other mines, Asarco and Freeport, and those do have issues. And I will give you credit. The County Department of Environmental Quality is absolutely right on those when there are dust events. We had a huge one in October, all through October, and others, and we're waiting on some final word on some of those, what the penalty will be, frankly. So I appreciate the county absolutely jumping on those types of things. Air quality is an issue, but it's not an everyday issue. We also have the pecan groves, and when they are they're harvesting, we have these huge dust clouds. They don't last for long, but again, we know that those are being monitored also. Rosemont really isn't going to be an issue for us. It's on the other side of the Santa Rita Mountains.
Chuck Huckleberry, do you think it's going to change our air quality?
Well,
you've been around a long time, and you remember back in the days with some of the mining on the other side of the Catalinas, where we used to have all sorts of air quality issues here.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we had some initial disagreements with regard to the prediction of the models that were being used to predict air quality issues associated with the mine. I think we still have those concerns, and we'll continue to monitor that. And, you know, our concerns, even though we may or may not be the regulatory agency, it may go to the state. But if there's an issue, we're going to basically actively report on it and try and get it resolved.
All right. Dylan, did you have anything more on the mine, or can I move on?
Just real quick, I think. we've heard many times over the years from the various owners of the mine that, you know, things are imminent. They're going to start breaking ground next week kind of thing. And despite their crowing about this latest permit, they're nowhere in no position to actually start building anything, are they?
Well, I would think that they could probably break ground within months of it just depends upon how comfortable they feel in advancing the mining activity and spending money associated with the mine, understanding that there's litigation pending.
Litigation pending, and didn't they sell off a bunch of mining equipment that they bought, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, and then the things weren't going anywhere, and they got rid of it?
Was that Augusta, or was that...
Yeah, I think that was the previous owner.
Yeah, Augusta probably sold off a bunch of stuff. Now, when you say break ground, are you talking about breaking ground on putting up some buildings or digging a pit?
Well, I think, you know, the first step is a lot of mitigation, clearing the site, and then beginning the excavation. So I think there's a lot of preparatory work that has to go into the mine development. And so I think they could probably begin that within the next 6 months.
Dan Scheer, you kind of broke this story, and Dylan at TucsonSentinel.com picked up your story about the operational permit that was granted. Was it yesterday or...
Yes, on Thursday, actually.
And I think the headline said something like, yeah, they've got the operational permit, but they're not about ready to, you know, copper out of the ground or taking copper out of the ground.
No, there were three lawsuits filed, and they've now been pulled into one, and that has to go through the courts, and we'll see. But they could, at this point, dig if they want. But what Chuck was alluding to is, do you want to spend all that money and then have a judge say, no, you can't do this? And so we'll see what they're actually going to do. Rosemont has said, or Hudbay has said, that they'll give 30 days notice before they start digging. I want to bring up one point that you just kind of quickly glossed over, and over the my 10 years here has always been my main concern, which is safety on 83. Safety on the highway. I'm very concerned about that. We had talked about, in fact, on this very show with Augusta and then Hudbay about putting a rail spur in there. It's just too far. I understand it's just not going to be feasible financially, but I'm concerned about all those trucks on that. There is a traffic study. I've read it a couple of times. It's on their site. I'm still concerned.
And I think you're right to be concerned, because if you look at 83 now, it's a winding kind of rural road. And it's not designed to accommodate heavy truck traffic that may be going at differential speeds with passenger vehicles. So anytime you mix those two, you have significant safety issues. We've pointed those out to the Arizona Department of Transportation, because it's a state highway. It's really their responsibility, but it remains our concern. We have concerns on roadway safety, no matter whether it's a state highway, a city highway, or a county highway.
All right, and caller Roberta, I don't have time to get to your call, but I can say, well, actually, Roberta didn't want to stick around, and I appreciate Bob translating her question or comment. She says, according to research, toxic chemicals from mines can produce airborne problems for 100 miles in every direction. So who knows? Mr. Huckleberry, there is always an issue with airborne particulates, correct?
Well, it's proven to be a problem in Green Valley, and it just depends on which direction the wind's blowing as to how far it goes. And so, yes, it is and remains a concern, and it requires very diligent management associated with actually minimizing those emissions.
All right, we have all sorts of other topics that I want to cover in the next 20 minutes or so with Mr. Huckleberry on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Chuck Huckleberry is our Friday Focus interview. Dan Scheer is here from Green Valley News. Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, what should I talk about next?
Going into this break here with the word from the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors, I believe you're probably going to talk about Mona's Danish
Bakery. Yeah, I am, and I'll give folks an update about how it's going as Steve and his team of bakers are waiting for the word. They have to, of course, have the county health permits and all of the other equipment.
Nudge, nudge.
as I look over toward Mr. Huckleberry here. But no, Mona's has this very ambitious plan, and it's great. They're going to be doing hot breakfast at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They've put in all the equipment. They're just waiting for the permitting. We hope to be up and running with the hot breakfast starting at 6:30 in the morning within a week or so. Keep our fingers crossed. Open for lunch right now, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're also on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, buckmastershow.com has a link to all of our great partners, including TucsonSentinel.com and Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, because they're part of our partner family here as well. We'll be right back with Chuck Huckleberry. 790-2040 is our live line number. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Chuck Huckleberry is with us. Our Friday Focus interview, Dan Scheer for the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. And Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We've got Mr. Huckleberry probably for, another 12, 13 minutes. We need to talk about roads. We need to talk about law enforcement as far as the, why don't we begin with that, and the refunding the sheriff has has put a request in for another go-round to try to get the what is called Stone Garden, that grant, approved. Well, what do you know about this?
What the sheriff has done is basically applied for another Stone Garden grant. They come by fiscal year, depending upon whether it's a county fiscal year or the federal fiscal year. It's usually a federal fiscal year award, and that process has been where they apply for a certain dollar amount, and then the feds basically take that in consideration, and then they notify the sheriff that, yes, we have made an award to you of blank. And in this particular case, it's about $2 million. And it's a combination, again, of equipment and overtime for personnel associated with the sheriff's department who assist in Operation Stone Garden. It will go to what we call the Community Law Enforcement Partnership Commission probably in early April, and could go to the board as early as late April for a discussion and decision. Now, I think, you know, there's a great debate that goes on about Stone Garden, back and forth. I think one of the things that's overlooked very often is that the debate that's occurred publicly with regard to Operation Stone Garden has actually had the sheriff alter what he does. Had that debate not occurred, we would not have seen some of the concessions the sheriff's already made in how he performs Operation Stone Garden. So I think that's been very positive. And I think that, you know, the sheriff deserves a little bit of credit, and the board deserves the credit for bringing the pressure to actually have him alter his policy and how he actually accepts Operation Stone Garden money and how he operationally transforms what he does to integrate it with Customs and Border Protection.
Okay, Dan and Dylan, guys, follow up.
Well, that CLEPSI Commission, Community Law Enforcement Partnership Commission, is advisory, but in essence, they want to control everything. They want to really be an oversight of a person who is elected, who answers to all the people who elected him. And I think that's kind of been the back and forth also. So I'm not going to give that commission much credit, because they have attempted to turn down grants for things that anybody would think are necessary and would want to have somebody else pay for, you know, the x-ray machines and the ear protection and this type of stuff. And some pretty silly things have been said in those meetings. I agree that to get the sheriff to think and to make some changes is always a good thing. But at this point, it's the commission that probably needs to change how it's working. So this $2 million now coming down the pike, do you think that we're going to have the same tug of war we had over the past year?
Oh, I would imagine there are people on that commission who are going to basically try and do just exactly as you said, but that's not the mission of the commission. And so the original mission of the commission was to provide oversight over Operation Stone Garden. When the Operation Stone Garden grant got disapproved by the board, then that mission was expanded to all grants. I think that and that's a kind of a growing process, kind of organic in the sense that this commission needs to, you know, probably be refocused. Depending on what the board does with Operation Stone Garden, they ought to probably return to their original oversight of just simply that grant. Because if you look at all the previous grants that the sheriff has gotten, they basically all have gotten through the commission with approval, sometimes on a split vote, but they get there.
But a lot of those people on that commission have been openly anti-law enforcement even before they were appointed to that commission. They have had issues, or family members have had issues. And so here we are turning down hundreds of thousands of dollars, over $1 million last year or potentially, and we're gonna allow that to happen again. And I guess I'm not quite sure why a fairly poor county wants to say no to money.
Well, first, we haven't allowed that to happen again. And yes, in this commission, there's a great diversity of opinion.
You are so kind.
Well, great. The commission also has former members of law enforcement that are at least supposed to be on it. I think part of the dysfunction that's going on there is that representatives of two of the five supervisors aren't even showing up for those meetings.
No, that's not the issue. The issue is that representatives of three of the five supervisors are just nuts. I mean, they're just nuts. And some of the comments they're making, they're just nuts. I've talked to several of them, and I say, you're just nuts. I mean, I understand the passion, but the fact is that ultimately they're hurting law enforcement officers by turning down some of this money. That doesn't make sense to me because they have an axe to grind. Go grind it elsewhere, but not where the rubber meets the road, which is buying equipment for these people.
Well, when people don't show up to the meeting, doesn't that just afford that platform for people to grind their axe on to mix a couple of metaphors together?
I would not say that it's a good idea to not attend the meetings. I would agree with you on that, but don't point at them and say that they're the issue, when really the issue is that people are turning down grants for monies like money that would go toward an x-ray machine to see if there's bombs in a box. Why would you turn that down?
What money got turned down, actually, except for one Stonegarden grant?
They were making an argument to do that. So this is the direction they're heading. And really what it is it's not wanting to turn down that specific grant money. It's wanting to put law enforcement in its place because they think they're all evil. These are, you know what? The fact is they're the wrong people. Probably on both sides, they're the wrong people on the commission. Just start from scratch.
What I'm asking Chuck is, has that commission actually had any effect except for that one Stonegarden grant? They've been spouting off about a lot of these
things. No, that's not the point, though, Dylan. That is not the point.
If they're ineffectual, what is? Who cares if they jump up and down?
All right, let's let Mr. Huckleberry address Dylan's comment.
I think that the original Stonegarden grant was turned down really not by their recommendation. Yeah. That was a board action. And then all of this other activity has been added to it. Yes, it was a little strange there for a while, but then I think credit the board. The board said, no, we need a law enforcement member or someone with criminal justice experience appointed as well as the other folks. And so they added those. So there's a beginning to get a little bit of balance or some balance. And so I think hope springs eternal that we'll have a rational decision and recommendation out of this group to the board. And I think everybody needs to recognize all the change that's happened with the sheriff that's made the acceptance of this grant better for the community and actually sets up an ability to actually accept this grant.
But what I want to know is, have any other grants been turned down by the county?
You're saying the end justifies the means here. You're saying that all's well that ends well. And I'm saying that no, the point.
Let the man answer the question. I just want the facts on the table because I don't actually know. There's a reason I'm asking the question.
But I've been following the whole process. And
have any other grants been turned down?
So much has been
the
damaged
referee
during
a hockey match. I let these guys.
I just want to know the facts. That's all. I'm not trying to prove a point. I just want to know.
I'm saying the journey has been very damaging. That's what I'm saying. The journey has been very damaging. Supervisor Allie Miller has said, you know what, we just don't even need that commission. Would you agree with that?
No, I think you need a commission. I think you just need the commission to concentrate on what they have responsibility for, better define what they have responsibility for, and make sure it's balanced. I mean, there's the problem, is all of these boards and commissions that are appointed by the county, you get diversity of opinion, and that's good because sometimes that makes the decision better.
Okay.
And I think in this case, you're going to see that.
How are we doing at the legislature? How, from the point of view of Pima County, I mean,
we're playing great defense.
not as much focus on Pima County this time
not
around.
Nearly as much focus. We've actually had some great support out of the governor's office with regard to reducing what I call state cost transfers during the recession that the state's been through. So. We're actually going to see some of our money returned, hopefully, with the session. The Arizona Department of Juvenile Corrections used to take about $1.7 million of our money, and we hope that that's going to be actually returned at the end of this session.
Getting back to the sheriff, has he been saving the cost? There's been some cost savings. Hasn't he announced those recently?
Well, there's cost savings, but those cost savings are really in personnel, where you basically have a position that's been left open, hasn't been filled. He pays more attention to the budget than others have in the past, so that's a good thing. And so I think in that sense, once he pays attention, he'll get rewarded for that.
There's been a lot of hand-wringing over that $32 ADOT fee on our license registration. But in essence, doesn't Pima County kind of benefit from that?
Well, we benefit to the tune of $2.7 million. Absolutely. And so it's one of the things that I'll take any transportation revenue that anyone will make available because we need it.
How about roads? We've got very little time. Is there anything new in that area other than they need work?
They need work in our budget. You're going to see for the very first time, we're going to isolate and call out the amount of money we put in road repair and pavement preservation. And I think it's going to be, as the budget that I'm working on right now, it's going to be over $20 million. And so that's a very significant investment. And it's because we're beginning to right-size the Department of Transportation, and we've done that because our RTA program is done. Therefore, a lot of our construction staff can be shifted to other things. And so we're going to save some money. We see these increased revenues, like for the $32, and you start doing that, and it adds up.
Dylan, anything more?
Well, $20 million bucks is still kind of a drop in the bucket for what needs to be done, isn't it?
No question. It's a step in the right direction, and no longer can people say, you know, we're not spending any money on roads. We've been spending money on roads all along. It's been widening roads. And we spent probably $500 or $600 million widening roads over the last 20 to 30 years because we needed to. Well, now we need to basically spend that same amount of money repairing the roads, which will then lead to increased congestion because we're going to continue to grow and expand and continue to need highway capacity.
Over the long term, are we ever going to get caught up foreseeably with our road repair needs?
We won't get caught up unless there's a recognition that you need to invest in transportation. And the investment, unfortunately, means taxes.
All right, and we had Mr. Christie, Supervisor Christie, on the program. Lots of calls during that segment about roads. Some of our callers want all of our new roads, Mr. Huckleberry, to be cement or concrete. Concrete.
They can be. They'll just be more expensive.
What would that do to the? That would practically double the cost, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's significant. Sometimes it's, you know, you do the cost analysis and you go back and forth, but it's always more expensive. It may last longer, but if you drive on some of the concrete roads that have been installed, they begin to what they call curl. And so you can basically feel every joint you go over.
All right. David had called. He had a question about roads. David, I'm really out of time, but because I'm a nice guy, I'll take the call here. We're really
my concern is what he just brought out. They're spending the money on widening roads because Marana just rezones for more and more cookie cutter development, creates the demand for more roads, and that's why we aren't fixing our roads. And this Chris DeMone is attacking our supervisors for that. And I'm concerned about that because if they don't get reelected, the same kind of people running Marana are going to take over Pima County, and they're going to recklessly rezone for more and more development. We're going to lose our Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, and we're going to have sprawl everywhere.
All right, David, I'm going to have to cut you off because I'm out of time, but I did want to give you your say. Mr. Huckleberry, thank you.
Thank you,
for
Bill.
Coming in. Chuck Huckleberry, our Friday Focus interview. Dan Scheer sticks around, as does Dylan Smith. We'll take our break right here. We'll be back with the portion of the program we call the Roundtable. Let's take the break. And then Dan and Dylan have a lot to say today. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's the Friday portion, the roundtable portion of the program on 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com, and Dan Scheer, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Both of them have now taken off their boxing gloves after kind of a heated discussion.
I still don't have an answer.
We were really getting Dan.
Still don't have an answer.
Dan going about that. What is the acronym again? CLEPSI.
CLEPSI. Community Law Enforcement Partnership Commission.
And each supervisor.
Kind of sounds like a disease, doesn't
each
it?
Supervisor got what? Two picks.
Three
picks. Yep. And Allie's people are not.
And pulled off.
Yeah.
And so have Steve's. So they're not showing up to the meetings, which means they just kind of give it over to them. But we'll see if they come back because
it also makes it really hard to have a quorum.
Yes, commissions. Yeah. You need, I guess, eight. And the commission is continuing, though, which is why they should be there. The difficulty with a quorum was that half the people generally wouldn't even show up for these meetings anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of I'm not going to call it a joke because I know people went about the job seriously, but I felt like it's kind of spun out of control early and people were grinding axes rather than going for changes that Chuck was talking about and very real changes. And it causes the sheriff to pause and say, okay, let's think about this. This is their concern. Let's think about it and we'll make some changes. Maybe not the ones they want, but we'll make some changes. And we've seen that. But again, turning down money, I just don't think Pima County's in the position to do that.
Mm. The Arizona Daily Star, Dylan, will shut down its local printing press, which according to the publisher, got a complete redo, I guess, about 10 years ago, and there was a lot of money spent on the printing press at the Star. Well, the paper will be printed now by the Arizona Republic up in Phoenix. This is, and Dylan, is this owned by Gannett, the press itself, where they're going to print this up in Phoenix?
Gannett is a national newspaper chain. They partner with Lee Enterprises, another national chain
and
here.
And part of the joint operating agreement.
That's their 50-50 partnership here.
Yeah. So is this kind of a
You know what? This should have been done 10 years ago instead of those upgrades on the press, really, because we all knew where it was going, and that was a downturn in the economy right exactly at that time. This press is in Deer Valley, which is way north Phoenix, so once you start to enter the Phoenix area, you got another 45 minutes to an hour.
At least.
Yeah,
and up in Deer Valley. I didn't know that.
It's way up there. It's a beautiful press. I used to work there when as a reporter when I was at the Republic, and so I am very familiar with that plant, and it does a good job. This is not unusual. It leaves our press in Sierra Vista as, I believe, the only one in southern Arizona now. And so we've got to, of course, come up with a backup plan, and then perhaps there are other opportunities there for us. So we print a lot of our paper in Green Valley, and Sahuarita is printed in Sierra Vista. It's trucked around the mountain, 80 miles. This is not unusual. And so as long as it doesn't impact deadlines, which I believe at the Star is 8 p.m., if I'm not mistaken.
Except for some sports stuff.
Sure.
They already have a pretty early deadline, and there's, you know, free time on the press up in Phoenix because the Republic prints much later. So
logistically,
there are some issues here. I think it's just more of a symbolic move from those of us, observing about how giant chain media doesn't really invest in local communities as much as they want to profit from them.
But as you said to me, Dylan, yesterday, if it's going to save a couple of newsroom jobs, let's just do it. And I would completely be in agreement with that. I hope that's happening.
It's certainly awful for the 60 people, the 60 families that are losing their really good jobs. It's not a great thing to watch a craft that is so wonderful. You know, the people who run these presses are really skilled craftsmen. To watch that vanish is kind of hard. You know, as much as I am a new media person, I really respect the abilities of people to do this. And that's long been, you know, one of the best run presses in the country. They used to win awards when the Tucson Citizen was being printed. They get, you know, national Best of Gannett awards all the time for the quality of the work that they
and
did.
And as you pointed out, Dylan, in your story yesterday, excellent story about this, TucsonSentinel.com, it's not like the Star isn't making any money. Like it's operating in the red.
They're making huge profits. Their profit margin is still 20%. When, you know, they're pulling in tens of millions of dollars, pushing $50 million a year. So they're making
$10
million or so.
Want more.
They want more money. Of course, that's, national conglomerates like this, their only focus really is the bottom line.
And you pointed out that this total big picture newsroom jobs are about 10, I think you said about 10 to 15% of the overall big picture budget.
At the Star, the amount of profit every year is twice what the investment in actually doing the news is. You know, when you look at everything that it takes to run a newsroom, all the reporters and editors and photographers paying for the Associated Press and, you know, gas money and everything is half of what the total profit is.
Do you think that's standard?
That's been that way for generations.
It's about 10%.
Yeah, I would have thought more, but I think Dylan's crunched the numbers. But, you know, the fact is that at a newspaper, content is king. And when you start cutting reporting positions, that is only going to hurt you. It is only going to hurt you. I understand what has to be done, and we've seen half the staff go away at the Arizona Republic. They sold off their 10-story building. They still occupy three floors of it, but the new owner is now renting out other floors for other things. But
those floors are a little empty, too.
Yeah, so they don't have much. But they used to have bureaus and, the whole bit. But
could that be coming for the Star's building?
Well, the Star,
great question.
As I reported last night, the Star is looking, whether they sell that enormous plant down on South Park or not, they're looking for an office in Midtown that is a tenth of the size of that building down there.
So what
That's more than 200,000 square feet.
The big
and they're
presses.
Looking for a building that's about 20,000 square feet.
What do they do with these big presses? Put them on the used press market or something?
There's not much of a market for them anymore. I mean, there are so many newspapers that have been...
Star that they're selling.
Yeah,
so many places have been
them.
Shut down. Yeah. So there are tons of used presses for sale all over the place. And,
they can be reconfigured for advertising and different types of things. Yeah. But yeah, it might be parted out, but we'll see. There's probably a press junkyard somewhere.
Because they're massive. I mean, that thing is more than two stories tall. Yeah. It's a huge hunk of metal.
But you know what? On a business level, it makes sense. And to move this startup maybe to a different place, smaller place, see what happens.
Hmm. And of course, still looming is a deadline for a lot of big names at the Arizona Daily Star. They've been offered a buyout. And that will be coming, their decisions will have to be made very soon, a couple of weeks.
And I think in a couple of weeks, there are a dozen of the household names and some other folks there in the newsroom who are, very experienced. It's all people who are age 62 or older who are earning some pretty decent salaries, and the Star is trying to cut their budget. In addition to that dozen people, there have been four other reporters who have... left recently or are about to leave, and we've been told they're going to hire a few more folks, and hopefully, I mean, it's an important newsroom to this town that it remains as healthy as it can be. As you were talking about, Dan, it's sad to see these 60 jobs go away, but it for this community, it's much more important that we have as many reporters as possible digging into things, whether that's at your paper, whether it's at the Sentinel, whether it's at the Star or wherever.
Final note, Senator McSally supposedly made a phone call to the president defending John McCain. I hope during that phone call that she just said, please stop. I mean, this is crazy.
It's just it's hard to believe how focused he is on someone who's been dead for a while, and doesn't he have other things to worry about? There's a kind of a crisis looming in between India and Pakistan. I mean, can't we deal with impending nuclear war rather than John McCain?
I don't know. All right, Dan Scheer, thank you very much, Dan.
Very good, thank you.
And thanks, Dylan, for coming in. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Coming up next, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Here we go, baby. Stir It Up Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist Matt Russell is presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Road trip, anybody? It's only a 3-hour drive over to a great part of the southwestern portion of the land of enchantment and the United States, a great part of the U.S. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find ideas on great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities, hiking, doing some antiquing, on it goes. So many things to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great on this Commerce Day here in Tucson. What a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. This is what it's all about. This is why so many people want to be in Tucson this time of year. This is a town that loves its breweries and its suds. Is there anything going on the brewery front this weekend?
Yeah, well, when a brewery makes it past 5 years, that says a lot about the beer that they brew. And we've got one that is actually turning 7 this weekend. It's Borderlands Brewing Company on Toole Avenue downtown. The 7th anniversary celebrations begin today. They're going to go all through the entire weekend. You've got live music and food trucks every day. You've got fun and games for the kids tomorrow. And, of course, the beers that put Borderlands on the map. And now that map is expanding, Bill, because they have their latest news is that Borderlands is soon going to be opening up a location in Phoenix. So that's great to hear. Happy 7th to my beer brethren at Borderlands this week.
Boy, that's going to be a great event. Another great event is the 4th Avenue Street Fair.
Yeah, and this is the perfect weekend for the spring version of the fair, running from 10 a.m. to dusk today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And though they've been doing this for nearly 50 years, if you can imagine, there's always something new on 4th Avenue, like the recent opening of the Box Yard, an open-air development comprised exclusively of repurposed shipping containers, similar to the ones that you and I have talked about down at the Mercado San Agustin Annex. Now, this one has 2 bars and several culinary concepts, including Mexican and barbecue and Vietnamese. I say the Box Yard is going to be a great place to grab a bite and a brew as you shop your way down the avenue this weekend.
One of the big events of the spring is something that's called The Event, Matt Russell.
Yes, and it's not only one of the big events, it is absolutely one of my favorite food events of the year, and they couldn't find anything better to call it than simply, as you said, The Event, and it's happening this Sunday evening over both levels, upstairs and downstairs of La Encantada Shopping Center. More than 50 of Tucson's best restaurants are going to be serving up samples of the food that we've all come to love, along with creative libations and live music, all to benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs of Tucson. Just a few tickets remain, so get them while you can. BGCTucson.org. And this year's theme, Bill, is Nashville Nights. So I guess that means I'll be stepping into my Buckmaster boots for a delicious evening under the stars.
The Rhinestone Cowboy. Here he is, Matt Russell. All right, my friend. Have a great weekend. Always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Back at you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by my Munich, Germany friend, Christophan. What a fine young musician this gentleman is. We thank him for his contribution to our work. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brand, and everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer and producer, Bob Dio, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, including production manager and funny man, Jerry Cross, operations manager, Ray Allen, Alicia, Elsa, doing such a great job in the front office. Coming up next, Steve Rivera, Eye on the Ball. All of us wish you a safe and pleasant weekend.